You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Help make a child's holiday by donating a new unwrapped toy at First Energy Stadium during the Cleveland Browns Toys for Tots Toy Drive on December the 15th. Marines and Cleveland Browns alumni will collect toys and cash donations at the stadium gates during the Browns game against the Bears. Donate a toy and touch a life during the Browns Toys for Tots Toy Drive.
We take you inside the locker room on this show. One of the great features that we have in our own Jameer Howardson of ClevelandBrowns.com, sitting down with a player of interest. And he's got an interesting guy with him today, running back Chris Obanaya. Jameer, take it away.
Thanks, Vic. Chris, after coming off yesterday's disappointing loss, shall I say, what did you guys take away from that game after today you, as your position groups, got together and broke down the game footage?
Main thing that I saw was just the details and making sure that we leave no stone unturned. You just have to make sure that you leave no doubt. I think that's the one thing that I noticed. And all the things that, you know, we work during the week and we try to encompass into our game plan is we did what we were supposed to do. But unfortunately, I think the main thing is just finishing. I think that's something Chet always talks about, just to, you know, finish, and that comes in the preparation, that comes in your focus and understanding situations and just being able to do those little things. But for the most part, I mean, I can't be more proud of our guys. We competed our tails off, man, and we did what we were supposed to do. How we should compete as a team every week was definitely evident on the field.
Chris, how frustrating is it knowing that we spoke last week and you said you guys want to run the ball effectively, you want to get the first downs, you want to keep Tom Brady off the field, and you guys did just that?
It's a part of the game. I think that things happen. You have to understand different situations and understand that things are going to change. But one thing I did notice is that our team will never surrender. We just won't back down. We'll continue to fight. And that's how we've been trained, you know, with this coaching staff. We've taken on the identity of our coaches. And I think that it's an aggressive attacking mindset, that we're hungry, constantly hungry. And as long as there's time on the clock, we understand that win or lose, anything can happen. And so you have to continue to prepare that way. The formula is there. And we'll just keep working. You know, we have another formidable opponent coming in, and we'll just prepare ourselves as we always do.
Chris, how great is it to see the fight in the team? Because you look at with 3 games left of the season, guys at this point at time would just pack it up and just say, you know what, let's just prepare for next year. But not only are you guys preparing for next year, but like you said, you're still fighting because you do have a good opponent coming in this weekend.
There's plenty to play for as long as there's a game on the schedule. And I'm a competitor. It doesn't matter if it's preseason, regular season, playoffs, Pop Warner, it could be a pickup game. I want to win the game, and I'm going to do what I can do to help my team win. And so as long as there's time on the clock, as long as there are games left, there's something to play for. It doesn't matter what you play for. There's an opportunity there for you and for us as a team. And so with that mindset, we have to continue to be smart and be disciplined and go do our job.
Chris, good luck this week, and thank you for your time.
All right, thank you.
Back to you, Vic.
Hey, Jameer, thank you very much. Chris Obanaya, thank you very much. And Nathan, you just made a great point as we were listening to Chris Obanaya, the role that he could have against the Bears.
This could be a massive game for Chris Obanaya. And if you were to go back through his career, when he's really gotten an opportunity to carry the mail, he did it twice in 2011. He had 19 carries for 90 yards against the St. Louis Rams. Then the following week, 21 carries, 115 yards, and a touchdown against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's it. Those are the only games in his career where he's really been the primary ball carrier. And you talk about with Wilson McGahee suffering a concussion. You know, he has to go through the concussion protocol. There's a chance that he ends up being the main man against the Chicago Bears team. And the Bears right now, before tonight's game, they're taking on DeMarco Murray and the Dallas Cowboys. They give up 133.5 yards rushing per game to running backs, most in the NFL. 4.9 yards per carry, also most in the NFL. So this is an opportunity, I think, for Chris Obanaya and the Browns to establish a little bit of a running game if, in fact, he has to take over for Willis McGahee, who was unable to go due to a concussion. Let's go back to the phones now. 216-578-0850. Frank in Akron, you're on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hey, I just want to say that after yesterday's game, usually when we lose, I feel bad about it, and I feel bad about the loss yesterday, but today feels more like a win because I think we beat New England at their own game, and I think that, like other people were saying, They got out coached, and I look at these young players, and when these guys mature all at the same time, this team's going to be something to reckon with.
I think you're right. I think that sums up the way that I feel about it, Vic. That's pretty much where you're at.
Totally. It is a different feeling. I don't want to. I hate the habit of taking solace in a loss. I said this morning too to Joe Hayden in here. I said, look, Joe, I don't want to. I feel like this is like a happy discussion about playing the Pats so well and knowing you'd won that game, but for the following. So it's a dangerous thing to get into, but at the same time, I don't care right now. The best thing I guess I can do, maybe therapeutically, to deal with this game is believe this was a win in every possible way. And more importantly, this is not the same old Browns sort of approach to this discussion, that there is something here that's happened in a good way, that this was, if these were the same old Browns, we're not having really a discussion about a game unfolding quite like this.
No, I think you're right.
I thought they were getting into they could have been an early hole and forget about it. So right off the rest of the day, Brady passes them to a big first half lead and they want the bus engines to be running quickly.
And that's not what happened. They stepped up. They came off of a game against Jacksonville that could have been crippling because in many ways ended the season, but they instead rose up to the challenge. And I think that you're right. And you don't want to take solace in it, but I feel good about it. I feel positive about the direction that this team is going in and the performance that we saw against the New England Patriots team. And let's not forget, you want to talk about a game similar to this, and now granted, the Browns are not on the brink of going to the playoffs, but it was a loss in New England that I know for many people who played on that New York Giants team that ended up beating the Patriots, it was a loss in New England that gave them the feeling that they actually could beat anybody and they were as good as anybody in the NFL, and it changed the mindset of that New York Giants team. That was a Week 17 game where they went into New England, almost beat the Patriots because the Patriots completed their undefeated season, and then they ended up beating them in the Super Bowl, but it was the confidence that came from that game that I think helped the team, and I think it's confidence from this game that's going to carry over. And you know, you look at around the NFL, and I didn't get an opportunity to ask Rob Chudzinski this, but I wanted to. Carolina had lost a lot of close games the last 2 years, and they started off this season 1-3, and they lost a couple close games at the beginning of the year, and then they figured out how to win, and it became infectious and contagious for a team that a lot of people remember. Ron Rivera was about to be run out of town. Riverboat Ron was gone, and they were 1-3, and then they went 8 in a row to get to 9-3, lost last night. But it's once you kind of get the sense of it and you get the confidence, I think this was a confidence building game. Now it comes down to executing in the key moments. 2 weeks in a row they have not executed defensively in the key moments. Now this week they were playing 12-on-11 because the referee, Mr. Referee and his hanky, got the thing done. But I'll tell you what, I still feel good about this one coming out much better than last week. Last week, I felt like I got kicked in the cajones, as you like to say. This week, I feel like the Browns were robbed but were the better team. And I think if you look, and Bill Belichick said they were better than us, Tom Brady said they were better than us, I think that the Browns were, and unfortunately, the way things worked out, they didn't outscore them, which ultimately is all we care about, honestly, at the end of the day.
Do you know the Browns could probably send legitimately 5 guys to the Pro Bowl?
So who are you at? So we've been on 4. We've been on 4. Who's number 5?
Well, okay. So let's go down the list. Talk about Joe Hayden. Talk about Joe Thomas. Let's get the Joes out of the way.
Josh Gordon.
Now let's talk about
there.
Josh Gordon. Yeah, of course. Josh Gordon. There's three. Yes. What are you, threatening me? Yes. Right. He's on the list. There. All right. He's 3. T.J. Ward.
Yep.
And the 5th guy would be Jordan Cameron. Look at his numbers. Look at his tight end numbers. He's right up there in the top 2 or 3. So, I mean, in terms of the AFC, he's either going as a pick, straight up pick, or an alternate.
The fact that Gronk got hurt.
Right.
Okay, so it's good. It comes down to Jordan Cameron and Julius Thomas in the AFC. I don't think there is another tight end in the AFC that's even close.
That's healthy and it's close.
Charles Clay's numbers are surprisingly good.
I know, but no.
We're not counting Charles Clay.
I think Jordan did enough early on to get some momentum and to carry him through. I'm predicting he will be in Honolulu, not just vacationing. They all vacation while they're there, but I think he'll be part of the Pro Bowl.
I think you bring up a very good point.
Think about that. 5 guys from a 4-win team, which tells you more and more about it, supports the story that we're telling here about improvement. We're attempting to tell. Right. I think we're telling it well.
I think we are. I think we're telling it very well.
And it's not company BS. It's legit. It's legit off of a performance like that, and you make such a great point about the rebound effect here, that Jacksonville game could have been enough, and I thought it was going to be enough to tank this team in many ways.
Yeah.
I had such bad feelings about this trip to Foxborough. I really did.
We both did.
I thought the highlight would be the clam chowder in the press box at halftime.
Which it was.
It was a highlight, but the Browns were leading 6-0 at the time, so the chowder tasted even better. A couple of oyster crackers in there, and I was home. You know, I was home free. It was a beautiful thing. But
all right, here it is. So here are the numbers. So you got in the number one tight end in terms of yards in the NFL, Jimmy Graham, and touchdowns. He's in the NFC.
Yeah.
Jordan Cameron, second in the NFL among tight ends in catches and yards.
Eh.
His 7 touchdowns rank 4th, I believe. Yes, you have Julius Thomas with 11.
Right.
You've got Vernon Davis with 11 and Graham with 14. So, yeah.
The numbers verify what I say, don't they?
He is, if not the best, the second best tight end in the AFC.
Dino, do we want to take more calls?
Yeah, we got Scott in Bombay.
At this point in the game? Scott in Bombay, Florida?
Yes.
Hey, Scott.
How are you?
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
How you doing?
Oh, great. Doing great. I really love your show. Being down here in Florida that I have to deal with 3 other football teams, sports radio is what I got, and you guys are great. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
What I got is not all doom and gloom. I'm not so upset about the bad officiating because I feel like young football teams, which we are, find a way to lose. And, you know, we could have handled our own business. We were 2nd and short a couple of times with penalties. We let a punt hit on the 20 and go to the 8 instead of catching it. We kept a team in bounds or let them go out of bounds 3 plays in a row where if we would have got them, they would have had to use their timeouts. So, you know, we could have handled our own business. With experience, it'll do that. And that goes right along with what you said about all the Pro Bowls, because who led the league in Pro Bowls last year? I think it was Kansas City.
Kansas City.
And look at them this year.
Yeah.
And then my only other thing, and I know you don't want to talk about quarterbacks in the draft, but being down here in Florida, Blake Bortles.
Very
Blake
good.
Florida, yep. Like him. Yes.
All right,
like
guys,
him
thanks
a lot.
All right,
like
you
him
got
a
it.
Lot, the kid from Central Florida.
I do, and I think he's somebody who's on the rise. I like Blake Bortles. I would agree with that.
Someone this team, I think, likes too.
You know, it's interesting. He made the point, and at the Kevin Beard, who always gives me crap every time I talk about how great I think Josh Gordon is, and he says, what a surprise. He says, we are the 2012 Chiefs, bunch of Pro Bowlers and a losing record, hashtag good things to come. I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
Also, we got a good one from Ad80Adam. He says Pro Bowl isn't AFC and NFC anymore. He's right. It's a new format. I still think, though, when you look at the numbers, he is among the top 4. You'd have Graham. You'd have Vernon Davis. I think you have Cameron, and you have Julius Thomas. So I think he's going to make the Pro Bowl either way as you break down. So, yeah, there's 5. There are 5 guys legitimately who have made the case for Honolulu at this point.
And
Jordan Cameron needs 175 yards to have 1,000 yards.
A season. I'm saying this is, here's the other factor. Quarterback carousel. You can't.
Yes.
I mean, this isn't happening in other places. And by the way, let's get into this right now too, because some people were exchanging tweets about this. Josh Gordon versus Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson, a great wide receiver. Josh Gordon has inserted himself into the conversation of equal greatness, and if in some regards you could say he's got some edges over a great receiver. They both have the size, athleticism ratio thing, but Gordon's speed is extraordinary for a man that size. It's extraordinary. He's demonstrated 2 weeks in a row running away from defenders, and he demonstrated that last year too, by the way, in New York at that Giants game. I mean, that was a sign of things that to come this year, and we've seen it. And over that 4-game stretch, Calvin Johnson is the guy he supplanted for record production of yards in that time. So it's meaningful. And by the way, for the most part in his career, Calvin Johnson has caught passes from Matthew Stafford, a top-level quarterback. For the most part, Josh Gordon has caught passes from a lot of patchwork quarterbacking. I'm sorry. That's what it is. I'm not sorry. It is what we know what it is. It's Brandon Whedon or it's Jason Campbell
or
it's Brian Hoyer or it's this guy or it's, you know, and it's back and forth. That lack of consistency is troubling for the position, but it's also the kind of thing that can trip up a receiver as well as a quarterback who has to figure out his timing with the guys and get it all together. So this has been remarkable for Josh Gordon and for Jordan Cameron to put up those kinds of numbers under these conditions.
Josh Gordon leads the NFL in receiving yards per game at 127.3 on a 16-game pace. That's over 2,000 yards receiving. He leads the NFL. Remember, he missed two games. He leads the NFL in receiving yards, period, with 1,400. He leads the NFL with 24 catches of 20 or more yards. One of every three catches he makes is over 20 yards. He leads the NFL with 8 catches of more than 40 yards. Josh Gordon, you can make the case that certainly in this year he is going to be the guy. He is on that level. I still think Calvin Johnson is the best receiver in the NFL, and Josh Gordon will have to do it for a few years. But as somebody at the age of 22 who's doing this, no one ever at 22 has put up the numbers that he's put up.
I'm always with you on the consistency argument, which means, you know, do it over a period of time, and that's where this franchise is with him. I'm talking in real time,
in
though,
raw
playing
talent.
Raw talent, real time performance, production.
He's the best in the NFL right now.
I'm putting him right there. That's why in the Calvin comparison, I don't feel it's blasphemy. I don't feel it's overstatement to put him right there and in some regards put him ahead of him. And I believe that if the trend continues, he ultimately moves ahead of him. He ultimately, if the trend continues, and that is the big up, and Calvin has done it over a longer period. But again, I'm saying that you've got to also consider what Calvin has had to work with through his time in Detroit versus what young Josh Gordon has had to work with in his time, including working with the fact that he came in as a supplemental pick in last July, including the fact that he had to have no offseason to start his career with. What would that have done for him this year if he had all that time to develop himself and work and learn and get in condition and all of that? You'd probably some of those spectacular performances you saw last year, some of the spectacular performances you're seeing this year in numbers would have been in 2012, my friend.
And think about this. This is a guy who has, in his career, he has 13 touchdown receptions. One of them have been from less than 20 yards.
Yeah, he's
when he refines that red zone game and becomes the post-up guy like Calvin Johnson and gets those
easy.
We're talking about a guy who could have 20 touchdowns in a season easily.
Yeah, I'm with you. And he is all big play. That's the thing. His game is beat them, we throw it to you deep. And like you say, with Calvin, it's a lot of post-up, which is good. But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's been great for him.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. I love this. This is good discussion on a otherwise depressing Monday after a loss. It's not that depressing. 216-578-0850. More of you want to get aboard with us. Tweet us at Browns_daily. We're going to bring Gerard Cherry in here as well. We'll get his thoughts on things Browns-related, Patriots-related. Vic Carucci, Grandmaster Z, right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Take me.